This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilma. وأرنا الحق حقا ورزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا ورزقنا اجتنابه وأدخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين. أهلا وسهلا everybody to I think part 13 of our fiqh of actually part 14 probably of our fiqh of salah lectures. So إن شاء الله نبدأ بالمراجعة as usually. Last week انتهينا من صلاة القصر, right? Number 10 and number 11, Salat al-Jam' and Salat al-Khawf also, and the fear prayer. So let's start with reviewing that, inshallah. Bismillah ta'ala. Well, today, inshallah, the goal is to finish Salat al-Jum'ah. Salat al-Jum'ah, it's a big chapter, it's a big section. Thumma, inshallah, next week we can finish Eid, al-Khusuf, and al-Matar. And we'll be done with Salat, with Fiqh of Salah. All we have left would be the chapter of Al-Janaiz. And probably that will take 2 weeks. So probably by the end of January, we can be finished. Fiqh of Salah. And then Allah Alam, maybe somebody, one of the other mashayikh will do something before Ramadan. Ramadan is end of February. And then we'll go from there, inshallah. Maybe after Ramadan, we'll see if we want to continue with Zakah. We'll continue with Zakah. We'll see, inshallah. Bismillah, نبدأ بالمراجعة. So the first question is, who's allowed to do qasr? Who's allowed to do qasr?
One who is traveling.
Al-Musa'afir. Jameel. So the qasr, shortening the prayer. Well, qasr يعني to pray the four rak'ah prayer into two. That's it. That's what qasr is. There's no other kind of shortening. طيب. What are the conditions? We had three last week. We mentioned three conditions for the Qasr Salah. Give me the first one. It has to be a what?
Four.
Yeah, it has to be a Ruba'iyya. Salah Ruba'iyya. يعني ظهر, عصر, or عشاء. That's condition number one. It has to be a long travel. And we said a lot of them, يعني there's discrepancy between the distance. وفي النهاية قلنا, as long as the person is in the state of Safar, or he's doing Safar, he's traveling, he's packing, he's traveling, and then inshallah that would count for him. Okay, going from what's the last neighborhood north, like Skyview or something, I don't know, there's probably more, right? Yeah, let's say you're going from Skyview to Mahogany. Is that Safar? No, you're in the city. Ma inno, it's a long yani a long time ago. I don't know how long many of you have been here, but I think even Forestland wasn't part of Calgary in a long time ago, talking like in the 60s or something, 70s. Even Forestland was, يعني, خارج. So it really depends if it's in the city or not. طيب. And then the third condition is what? نعم, أحسنت. It has to be, أحسنت يا سعد, it has to be permissible travel. فلو سافر, سفر محرم, then he doesn't have the concession. The فقهاء, this is تعذيراً, of تعذيراً لل for the one who's doing haram, is to punish them. They say that they don't get the concession, ruqsa. Okay? طيب. But not if someone is traveling halal travel, but he commits something sinful. That's obviously يعني, not the case. طيب. Can you shorten prayer if you are staying for 10 days? طب أنا مسافر, I'm going to Vancouver for 10 days. According to what we talked about last week, can I pray qasr?
No.
Khalas. If it's more than 4 days, khalas. Now, from day one, I'm going to pray all of them in full. Tamam? Jameel. But on the way there, I shorten. Ma'af mushkila. But once I get there and I'm settled and I'm staying for a long time, then I will do, I will do full. And we also said that if I'm praying behind an imam that's praying full, we pray the full salah. Taib. In which situation are you allowed to combine prayer? So now we're going to talk about jama'ah. Which situations? We talked about three. We said number one, the same guy we're talking about, the traveler. So he's also allowed to do jama'ah. But they said it's indifferent, like it's not something masnoon. And some ulama said that it's better if he doesn't. طيب. So let's say he's allowed to do jam' as well, to join, like duhur and asr and isha and maghrib. Who else? The one who is? Ashab al-a'adhar, who are they? The traveler, the sick, the marid. Right, so the marid, we said, if he has a sickness and he cannot pray the prayers, okay, it could be allowed for him to join between Asr and Duhur and Maghrib Isha. And we said the third is for the two Ishas, Maghrib and Isha, if there's heavy rain, snow, weather conditions, mud, hail, it's dangerous, really windy on a dark night. Yani these kind of things that make it difficult for the walker. Because here they're considering the walker. But you might say, well, it's okay, I have a nice car, I have, mashallah. But what about some of you walk here? Yeah, like I know Uncle Ahmed walks here sometimes. And some of you walk here. Who walks here, by the way? Anybody walk here? You walk here sometimes? So yeah, those who are walking, so for them, they have udhur. صح. نعم. طيب, and the last, نعم.
Sometimes the fire and his dead man and the chest.
I know that question. That question comes every time for Saif. Can I join the Isha with the Maghrib? And the people who ask me this, they tell me, I asked someone, they said it's allowed. Why are you asking this? Look, I know it's a difficult one. And yes, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرُ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرُ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرُ. Allah wants ease for you and not difficulty. I think each person has to get a specific fatwa. There are people who might have a condition where they really can't stay up. Not every person is equal. يعني if you got a medical note from a doctor and he says this person, it's really bad for him to stay up, مش عارف, he has something, some kind of condition, then for him probably fine. He would consider from the marid. But a normal person who lives in Calgary, who wakes up for Fajr early, and he only gets 3.5 hours of sleep at night, then it would be his responsibility, Allahu A'lam, to get another nap in that day. Because, subhanAllah, like, I know it's difficult, but I think it's not something that is not possible, and it's not something that has great mashaqqa, unless the person doesn't take a nap in the middle of the day. Well, aslan, the person should take a nap in the summer. It's very hard to make it, unless you're, yani, I don't know what you're doing, but, because if you're waking up for Fajr, either you're going back to sleep after Fajr, which most people do, and then you should be fine for Isha. Just have a tea before you, yani, after Maghrib or something, and you should be fine. Yani. And we did, yani, for those who of you were here in Ramadan, yani, when Ramadan was in the summer, yeah, people stayed for Taraweeh and people, yani, made it work. And in Ramadan, we make it work. In Ramadan, you're more tired. Yeah, I would say each person should get a specific fatwa from the imam, okay? But in general, I would say no. I personally don't feel comfortable for someone to do that. الصغير ما في مشكلة. الصغير is أصلاً it's not. Someone's gonna say, "Oh, my kid has school time." Your kid is not baligh. He doesn't have to أصلاً. Yeah, it's not. He can pray early and go to sleep. It doesn't count for him too.
What you are saying? A final face is foundation and then the fourth part of you do.
Add.
Some people, they have made their chance in 40 or 5 and to give birth by the Isha time or until the birth by the...
Yeah, but this is not a recommended time. And some ulama said, no, it's up to midnight. يعني midnight, يعني middle of the night. Middle of the night, meaning take Maghrib to Fajr, cut it in half, that's the middle of the night. Okay, that's how they count the middle of the night. First, some of them will say that's the cutoff time. And others will say it's extremely makruh to pray that time, like the time before Fajr. And nobody should do that. يعني. It's too risky for a farida to do that. What's the latest Isha is? طبعاً, we don't have that problem anymore. يعني this, I mean, no, I mean, never mind. The latest Isha is what, 11:15, 11:10? Think so? You have to take a nap in the summer. يعني either after Fajr or after Dhuhr or something like that. You have to figure it out. Or after any work. But are you allowed to... The last question is, are you allowed to hold a weapon during the Salat al-Khawf? Huh? Naam, yeah, Allah says that in the ayah. وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ. And it should be something light so they can, it doesn't bother them too much in the salah. Wallahu ta'ala. طيب, Bismillah. Salat al-Jum'ah. So he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. يقول, تلزم الجمعة كل مسلم مكلف ذكر حر مستوطن ببناء. طيب. So now the mu'allif starts talking about Salat al-Jum'ah, right? And we know Salat al-Jum'ah, its importance. A whole surah was named after it. SubhanAllah, only two days of the week were mentioned in the Quran. What were they? Al-Jum'ah and? No, day of the week. As-Sabt. Allah mentioned Ashab al-Sabt, right? So As-Sabt, Saturday, Jum'ah is Friday. Surah Al-Jum'ah, chapter 62, there's a story behind it, right? And Allah subhanahu says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you believe, إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ. If the call of prayer is called, some scholars said the first adhan or the second adhan, which one is it? Okay. Then فَاسْعَوْا. فَاسْعَوْا doesn't mean we run to Jum'ah. Huh? The sunnah is not to run to salah, right? But فَاسْعَوْا وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى يعني here يعني leave what you're doing and go. Prior, السعي معنوي يعني it's a figurative سعي يعني it's not like you hear the adhan of Jum'ah, you're like, oh, okay, keep reading. Okay, no. فَاسْعَوْا يعني leave what you're doing and then go. هذا هو المقصود من فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, they said this is the khutbah. فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, yeah, this is the khutbah, ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, the remembrance of Allah. وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ, leave the business, but leave whatever you're doing. Yeah, حتى if you're playing PlayStation. Someone comes and says, no, Allah says, وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ, I'm not doing bay, I'm watching TV, it's okay. No, no, obviously, all of that counts. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. طيب, بسم الله. طبعا, the day of Jum'ah has so much fadl. The day of judgment is going to be Yom al-Jum'ah. Adam was born. So many things that happen on Yom al-Jum'ah. طيب, so he says Jum'ah is obligatory. Okay, is wajib. Okay, obligatory on who? The one who fulfills these five conditions. Muslim. Okay, not wajib on a non-Muslim. Okay, mukallaf. And we said mukallaf is someone who is responsible. يعني is بالغ عاقل. Okay, mukallaf. مكلف meaning بالغ عاقل. What does that mean? بالغ, mature, reached puberty. وعاقل يعني sane. بالغ عاقل. This is something that we've mentioned multiple times. So Muslim, مكلف. So بالغ عاقل. That means the young boy who is not بالغ, is not mature, it's not wajib for him to pray Jum'ah. طيب. And the one who's insane, مجنون, crazy, it's not wajib for him to pray Jum'ah. Male, ذكر. So is it wajib for the female? No. طيب. جميل. He says here حر. So it's not wajib on the عبد, on the slave. So it has to be حر. And then he says مستوطن ببناء. يعني being resident. Someone who's resident. Okay. يعني with the intention of being around the people. That's what they mean. مستوطن ببناء here. And so he says here, meaning he's not someone who is not settled in the place and moves from place to place, such as a Bedouin. Yani like a nomad or something, somebody who moves around a lot. That would not be a mustawtin, okay? And then he says here, a traveler who has reached his destination must still pray Jum'ah. This is a mas'ala that people ask, if I'm traveling, should I pray Jum'ah? You should pray Jum'ah if there's a Jum'ah there. And there's no difficulty for you. You should pray Jum'ah. Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said that as well. That a traveler who, must still pray Jum'ah if there is one being held in the city he's staying in. Yani he's there, and there's a masjid just 3 minutes, 5 minutes away. طيب, he should stay home or go pray Jum'ah. Go pray Jum'ah. But if he's traveling through, he's a musafir. يعني هو في حال السفر. Remember we said, when we understand travel, there's the one in traveling and one who is in the destination. Okay? So if you're still in the state of travel and Jum'ah time comes in, then it's okay. You're still a musafir. For you, it's fine. You'll do your Jum'ah qasr. Ma fi mushkila, inshallah. Cool. طيب, تفضل.
I was a bit in the story that back in the Asian, but it's almost minutes to make it another 120.
120.
And they are, yeah, and the
120 kilometers is like more than hours, huh? Hour and a half, too.
I remember that used to be a fair somewhat, and there was salt of passage to salt of the first new doctor and teacher.
Sir. So the question is, someone is working in a place that is far away from the closest masjid, 120 kilometers, and his employer doesn't allow him to go to Jum'ah. طبعاً, he should allow him to go to Jum'ah, but let's say he doesn't. Does he live there?
Yeah.
So he lives there, and that city has no masjid. So first, I would say if there's a good amount of Muslims, if there's a large amount of Muslims there, then they should get together and have a musalla there. That's number one.
Right now.
Jameel. And that's good. That's the matloob minhum, is to get together and get a musalla. Okay? Because if 120 kilometers, that's far. Yani, Chestermere has one. You can drive to Chestermere in like, 20 minutes?
They have a place, the lawyer has a place, but there is no body can be seen.
Well, that's the thing. Like the Hanabil, they're going to tell you, halla, it has to be 40 people.
Although they are missed.
Okay. If there are less than 40 people, then they just pray Dhuhr in that area. If there are not enough Muslims, then they just pray it as Dhuhr. And they will be considered.
So, like, it was just a kind of association or something that is just not a community.
For her.
Nothing yet.
Yeah, I mean, they do their best to. Number one, like you said, it's a town, right? Yeah. وفيها أكثر من 40 مسلم.
I don't know. Probably is.
Probably less than 40 Muslims in the whole town. Yeah, that's tricky. And ideally, if you're there, you have two options. I would say recommended options: find another job, okay. And I know that's not easy for everybody, or take Friday off somehow. يعني meaning or something like that, yeah. عشان تروح الجمعة and come back. Option three is, يعني, I don't know, they're going to have to, but even if they have, according to the Hanabali, he needs 40. The Malikiya say 20, I think, or 12. I think the Hanafiya say 3. Right? So there's a khilaf about the jama'a. Maybe they can take the lesser opinion, the 3, and they can go with that, and they can have their own place. حتى لو غرفة. حتى لو غرفة صغيرة يعني, and has 15 people, one of them gets up and does the Jum'ah, inshallah, يكفيهم. And it doesn't have to be an hour, 20 minutes, 15 minutes. We'll talk about the conditions of the Jum'ah, and you'll see how it's not that difficult, inshallah. But that's what I would say, Allah alam. طيب, let's go now to the following rules. Now he says, okay, وَمَنْ صَلَّ الظُّهْرَ مِمَّنْ عَلَيْهِ الْجُمْعَةِ قَبْلَ الْإِمَامِ لَمْ تَصِحْ وَإِلَّا صَحَّتْ وَالْأَفْضَلُ بَعْدَهِ. So now he's talking about, طبعاً, one thing about the Hanabila, they don't see Jum'ah and Dhuhr as equivalent. So they say Jum'ah prayer and Dhuhr are considered separate prayers, okay? And Jum'ah is not a substitution for Dhuhr, okay? Now, why is this important? Because now he's going to tell you, okay, if the one who's required to pray Jum'ah, okay, وَمَنْ صَلَّ الظُّهْرَ مِمَّنْ عَلَيْهِ الْجُمْعَةِ قَبْلَ الْإِمَامِ لَمْ تَصِحْ. Okay, it's Jum'ah time, and then the person who, يعني, I have the five conditions, it's wajib for me to pray Jum'ah. So I decide to pray Dhuhr before the Imam. It does not count. You might say, why would he pray Jum'ah? Why would he pray Dhuhr? But you'll see that if he misses Jum'ah, he has to pray Dhuhr still. Okay? So now he's saying, the one who has to pray Jum'ah, if he prays Dhuhr before the Imam, he's like, you know what, I don't want to go to Jum'ah today, let me pray Dhuhr. It doesn't count. واضح. So he should wait until the Jum'ah is done. Okay? Afwan. And then he says, وَإِلَّا لَمْ تَجِبْ عَلَيْهِ. يعني, if he's not from the ones like a woman or a young boy, tamam, or someone who's traveling on the road, وَإِلَّا صَحَّتْ. يعني, if you're a woman and you want to pray Dhuhr before the Jum'ah, before the Khutbah al-Jum'ah, and you're home, you can do that, ما في مشكلة. Okay? But then he says, وَالْأَفْضَلُ بَعْدَهِ. But it's better to do it after the Imam. It's better to do it after the Imam. واضح ده المسألة. So that's the مسألة about praying Dhuhr. Then he says, وحرم سفر من تلزمه بعد الزوال. So now he's saying, okay, I want to travel. Okay, I want to go to Ba'ath. And, you know, I want to go Jum'ah. He's telling you, it's haram for you, okay? It's haram for you to travel, okay, after Zawal. Why? Because that's the Dhuhr time. Yani you're there and it's wajib for you and you're escaping it. Yani you're missing it on purpose. You don't have udhr unless it's some kind of emergency travel or something. Okay? So that's the person who... Yeah.
I think it's right here. 1 second.
Yeah. It is prohibited to travel after the time of Zawal, which is the time of Dhuhr, yani, on Friday for those on whom Friday prayer is wajib. Is it prohibited for a woman? No. Is it prohibited for a young boy? No. Is it المسافر? No. طيب, it is considered a prohibited form of travel. Okay. Safar Muharram. Remember we talked about the Safar Muharram? So he wouldn't have a rukhsa, this guy. He would lose his rukhsa because that would be a Safar Muharram. If you intend to pray Jum'ah along the way to your destination, that is fine. Yeah, if you're, مثلاً, you're like, I'm traveling, I'm going to pray in Red Deer. هلا عندهم مسجد. They have a place, يعني. So ما في مشكلة. As long as you have the intention and you'll reach before Asr and you'll reach Jum'ah time. ما في مشكلة. Okay. So he says here, yeah, وحرم where are we? زوال وكره قبله ما لم يأتي بها في طريقه. Okay, so it's makruh, like he says here. It is disliked to travel before Zawal on Friday for those whom Friday prayer is wajib. But if you intend to stop somewhere, it's fine. So even to before, it's makruh unless you find. So the difference between the hukum here, they're saying it's haram after the adhan, yani after the time of Jum'ah. But before, it's makruh unless you have a place to pray on the way. So if you have a place to pray on the way, then you're good. Then you're good. بإذن الله. أو يخف فوت رفقته. طيب. And then he says, if you fear missing your company, that is not, it's not prohibited. إيش يعني؟ يعني you're traveling. Okay, you're traveling. And, you know, there's a Jum'ah, you're in Calgary, your flight is at like whatever. If you go to Jum'ah, you might miss your flight, then it should be fine. طبعا, you should have tried to avoid booking that time. But let's say you're in another city and Jum'ah time comes in. Okay, and there's a Jum'ah in the airport. Like in Toronto airport, there's a Jum'ah there. I remember when I was there was a Jum'ah. And so if you fear missing your flight, then it's fine for you. Then it's fine for you to miss that. Someone had a question? Now, so.
Sometimes, like, when we go to travel overseas, and you can get a cheap flight by day, and you have to start in.
There's a ticket cheaper on Friday. What time's takeoff? Now? What time's the takeoff?
Mike?
As long as you're not, like, according to the مؤلف, يعني, to the Hanabila, they're saying that it's makruh if you do it قبل الزوال, unless you have a place to pray on the way, and it's haram to do it after Zawal, if you don't have a place, if you're not planning to stop somewhere. So when you're planning a ticket, Allahu A'lam, you should try your best to avoid those times. You should try your best to avoid those times. Try to do it after Jum'ah, early. I don't know if you're gonna, depending where you're going, where you're landing, etc. But it's better to avoid it. يعني والله تعالى يعني ربنا بيعوض إن شاء الله. الله سبحانه وتعالى will reward you for that. بإذن الله تعالى. I know sometimes it's tempting. طيب, conditions for the Jum'ah prayer to be valid. Okay, so now he's talking about what are the conditions for the Jum'ah to be valid. He says, وَشُرُطَ لِصِحَّتِهَا. Number one, الوقت. So, طبعا, they mentioned four conditions. Technically, there are three. The fourth one goes into one of them. So he says, number one, الوقت. Okay, الوقت time. So it has to be in the time. So he says here, الوقت. وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ وَقْتِ الْعِيدِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ وَقْتِ الظُّهُرِ. وقت العيد. وقت العيد, we know that the time of Salat al-Eid, when is it? Yeah, so they say when it's like the sun is a length of a rumh, yeah. So he says here, they say Salat al-Jum'ah has two awqat, waqt jawaz, waqt that it's allowed, and waqt wujub. Waqt jawaz, يعني it's allowed. وَهُوَ مِنْ ارْتِفَاعِ الشَّمْسِ قِيدُ رَمْحِ. Rumh, yeah, like an arrow. So when the shams is, and that's the time when we pray. Yeah, Duha, Eid, okay? So that's why here he said, Salatul Eid. until what he says, إلى الزوال. Okay, so he says here, وهي أول وقت العيد إلى آخر وقت الظهر. No, now he's telling you the whole length. يعني from the time of like duha, okay, when the sun is as long as a rumh, has an arrow, until the end of dhuhr, which is asr time. Okay, this is the time. Now they broke it in two times. Okay, they say the first time is من ارتفاع الشمس قيد الرمح. Okay, so from the time of like after duha time, which is the time of Eid, when Eid is prayed, إلى قبيل الزوال, until like the time of زوال. And then he says there's another time, which is وقت وجوب, that you have to do it in this time, وهو ما بعد الزوال, from the زوال until the end of dhuhr. And they say that بعد الزوال, it's better. Why? Why is it better? Because this is from مفردات الحنابلة. إيش يعني مفردات? This is one of the words you'll hear in when you study fiqh. مفردات يعني they're the only ones that have this opinion. يعني the only madhab, and that's the one that they follow here in Calgary and other places. And that's why you see people, we will pray جمعة before ظهر أصلا. يعني sometimes we pray جمعة before ظهر. And that's the opinion of the Hanabila. They say that you are allowed, because they have a hadith of Ibn Umar and others. And honestly, there are strong dalils. And so for them, but they say خروج الخلاف. And the ulama have a qa'ida. If you can go with an opinion, okay, that doesn't contradict any of the other madahib, then it's better to do that. Okay? خروج الخلاف, they say. يعني to avoid khilaf, then pray it after Zawal. It's better. Okay, and that's why even some people will come pray the second Jum'ah always, right? Because it's خروج من الخلاف. So the first condition is it has to be prayed in the time. So if someone decided to pray Jum'ah, before duha time, then that would not be before sunrise. Then that would not count, obviously. Type. So then he says, فإن خرج قبل التحريم, okay, صلوا ظهرا وإلا جمعة, okay. فإن خرج قبل التحريم صلوا ظهرا صلوا ظهرا وإلا جمعة. Here he starts talking about if he doesn't reach the salah. Let's read here. So he says, when the sun reaches the spear's height after sunrise until the end of the time of the, that's the time of dhuhr. Even if praying at the time of prohibition, just before dhuhr. So remember, we had the time of nahi. We said that there's three short times of nahi. We said after the sunrise, 10-15 minutes before the sun is at the top. Okay. 10-15 minutes, and then, you know, before Maghrib, 10-15 minutes. He's talking about now, this is a time of prohibition. There's an exception in Jum'ah. In Jum'ah, there's an exception for that. So someone might ask, isn't this time of prohibition? There's an exception for the time of Jum'ah. If the Jum'ah was started late, then as long as they catch the Takbirat al-Ihram before the time for Jum'ah ends, they are considered to have caught Jum'ah, otherwise they will pray Dhuhr. That's what he's saying here. فَإِنْ خَرَجَ قَبْلَ التَّحْرِيمَ صَلَّوْا, okay, ظُهْرًا وَإِلَّا جُمْعَةً, okay. وحضور أربعين بالإمام. The second condition, now he says, وحضور أربعين بالإمام. It has to be 40 people with the Imam included. Now here's the thing. It has to be 40 people who it's wajib upon them. Okay? Does that make sense? So if you have 35 young children, they're not baligh, and 6 adults, is that considered? No. So I actually, I looked up this mas'ala, and they have some dalils, and يعني, some of them are weak, some of them are not. And so they said, يعني, we'll take those over some logical reason. Others, they said, well, the plural, what's considered jam' in the Arabic language? They say 3. So they said, خلاص, that's jam', that's plural, that counts as jum'. Okay, like the Hanafiya said that. Okay, Shafi'iyya, they said 40 as well. I believe the Malikiya said 12. Really, a lot of them are going to go to older narrations. Tamam. So, Allahu alam. This is one of those masail that is very tricky. Yeah, go ahead.
Jum'ah fast or sun?
Jum'ah? Salat al-Jum'ah? Yeah, fard. On those people that have the five conditions, it is fard for them. Na'am. So, fas'aw ila dhikrillah. Asan, we have a hadith where the Prophet says, whoever misses two Jum'ahs without an excuse, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ. It's like really serious. Whoever misses two Jum'ahs without an excuse, Allah will seal his heart. Because aslan, يعني even the person who doesn't pray the 5-day prayers, they'll make it to Jum'ah. Because it's something like, يعني, it's a really big minimum for a Muslim. تمام فجمعة unless you have an excuse, مريض, مسافر, etc. We mentioned excuses to miss جمعة before. So yeah, it's definitely for قيام. فسعى ولا ذكرى هذا فعل الأمر. نعم تفضل.
So not the you myself in salat the three stars must choose zela and honey, but on the Shaddai we finally in my chance.
I don't have it with me right here, and actually let me see here. I actually looked it up on the way here.
And was there a direct hadith, or was just an analysis on the interpretation?
No, so they have this narration. The first Jum'ah prayer was established in Islam in Medina with 40 men. Okay? ويعني الصحة يعني الحديث فيه كلام يعني من جهة الصحة. Right? But they said this one mentions that the first Jum'ah had 40 people. Does that say that it has to be? No, not really. هذا just خبر. Okay, for some of the ulama, they'll say no. Even if it was authentic, it's just a khabar, okay? yeah, and some of the tabi'een, they mentioned that Jum'ah would only be established with 40. But here the mas'ala is like, can you derive a hukum from that? It's tough. And that's why, yani, I think, yani, those towns that have less than 40 Muslims, even like, for example, like high schools and stuff, high schools, like when I was in Pearson, we established the Jum'ah there, but I don't think we had 40 people. And so when I think back, I don't know that according to the Hanbali madhab, wouldn't have counted. But for them, they couldn't leave school, and they are high school, so they're baligh. Most of them, I think most of them have to be baligh, yeah. And so it would be wajib for them, but they might have a rukhsa to maybe go with a separate opinion, tamam. And yeah, just so you know, this is where like having different opinions in these masail, it makes it easy on the Muslims. They're not cherry picking here. They're in a situation, and this is why you would ask a alim for this. They're in a situation where they are, it's difficult for them to get 40. And so the faqih will say, well, okay, well, maybe for you, we have another opinion that is valid in our sharia, okay? And, you know, you guys can take that opinion. Wallahu alam, yani. So then he says that it has to be 40 people, including the imam, and they all have to be from the ones who it's wajib on them. So he said it can't be 25 women and 15 men. It wouldn't count because it's not wajib on the 15 women. He gives examples here. So if you have 39 men and one woman, you cannot do Jum'ah. Okay? Imagine you have 39 or you have 40 with the imam. And then one guy is like, I gotta go. Everybody's gonna grab him. And
but that, no.
So that even like logically, does that make sense that you'd or everybody's Jum'ah is gonna be invalid just because one guy gets up and leaves? That's where some fuqaha will say, no, that doesn't make sense. The sharia didn't come with specific numbers. Remember, the fuqaha are doing this so they can have rules, because people are gonna ask these questions, and yani they're gonna make rules. That, yani, they need to have rules for people to follow. If you leave it ambiguous, then yani ijtihad. Allahu a'lam.
Where yes, of certain area.
Yeah, so this fatwa makes sense in a Muslim country, right? Because you'll say it's impossible for a place not to have 40 people.
In the West here,
yeah. For the West here, you might say, well, what do you mean? Like, what if there's a place in Alaska? I don't know. Yeah, yeah. That's why I said, I think that's why, alhamdulillah, there's a rahmah, there's a way out for them that they would ask alim, and the alim will give them a lesser opinion. Like I told you, like there's a difference between, and this is good to side point, يعني, there's a difference between cherry picking fatwa and taking an alternative fatwa, an alternative opinion, يعني, outside maybe the madhab you follow or the imam that you follow, okay, because of a necessity or a need. تمام? I'll give you an example where we're all, according to the Hanbali madhab, okay, we talked about tahara and how to clean the water, tathir al-ma. The way they clean the water here wouldn't count as tathir al-ma according to the Hanabi. Okay? And so, yeah, it wouldn't be considered. The way they clean it here, it wouldn't be considered tahir according to the Hanbali madhab. Okay? But then we wouldn't be able to use the water. And that wouldn't make sense. Sometimes, al-alam muttar to look at the different aqwal and go from there. And that's from the rahmah of the sharia. Wallahu alam. Let's go back. So now he says, If the number decreases during Jum'ah, then they have to do a new Jum'ah if possible. Otherwise, they will pray all Dhuhr. This is according to the opinion of the Hanabi. And like we said, if a group of people are in need of that, this school here, for example, we would tell them, just cross the street and come pray. You don't need to go to something that is khilafi. It's better to stay on the safe side and just cross the street and come pray with us. In Pearson now, there's a musalla right across the street. You go and pray there, and so on. And in other schools, everybody has their own numbers. طيب. Then he says here, فَإِن نَقَصُوا قَبْلَ إِتْمَامِهَا إِسْتَأْنَفُوا جُمُعَةً إِنْ أَمْكَنْ وَإِلَّا ظُهْرًا. Like he said here. So if the number decreases, okay, then they will start another Jum'ah, or otherwise it's going to be a Dhuhr. وَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ مَعَ الْإِمَامِ رَكْعَةً أَتَمَّهَا جُمُعَةً. So now they're talking about the Salah. They say you need to reach at least, okay, you need to reach at least one rak'ah. He says, whoever reaches one rak'ah, then he has prayed with the imam. So he has to technically he has to reach the rak'ah. And the second rak'ah before he goes down, he has to reach it. Otherwise, it would not count. And that's why you have to be very careful when you come to the Jum'ah. وَأَصْلًا الْجُمْعَةِ you have the khutbah and you have the salah. And whoever just comes for the salah, then it's not a complete Jum'ah. Tamam? And so for those who try to reach it last minute, that's not a good habit to have. Unless you have an excuse, عندك عذر, accident, something happens. طيب, أَتَمَّهَا جُمْعَةِ. طيب, now he says, وَتَقْدِيمُ خُطْبَتَيْنِ. So now we had the first condition, which is time. And then the number has to be 40. And we said the other madahab, they went as low as 3. Okay, because they said plural in Arabic is 3. Okay, I mean it's an acceptable opinion, I think. Wallahu a'lam. طيب, now he says the two khutbas. Okay, there has to be two khutbas. وَتَقْدِيمُ خُطْبَتَيْنِ. So obviously in the Jum'ah there's a long khutbah and a short khutbah, and in the middle the imam sits. And this is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have multiple narrations, and he says the two khutbas. Okay, مِنْ شَرْطِهَا. So now there's shurut for the khutbatain. So for the conditions for the salah to be acceptable, there has to be two khutbas, and the two khutbas have conditions. So he says, وَمِنْ شَرْطِهِمَا, يعني the two khutbas الوقت, it has to be on time. Okay, so the time, it has to be in the time of Jum'ah. There has to be praise of Allah, يعني وَحَمْدُهُ لِلَّهِ. Okay, he has to say Alhamdulillah somehow. Okay, praise to Allah. وَالصَّلَاةُ عَلَى الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He has to say the salah upon the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Okay, and reciting one ayah of Quran. There has to be at least one verse of Quran, okay? وَقِرَاءَةُ آيَةٍ وَحُضُورُ الْعَدَدِ الْمُعْتَبَرِ, and the number that they discussed, the 40 people. وَرَفْعُ الصَّوْتِ بِقَدَرِ إِسْمَاعِهِ, and his voice has to be heard. يعني if the khatib is there, nobody can hear him, then that would not be counted as a proper khutbah, right? وَأَنْ تَكُونَا, يعني the two khutbas, مِمَّنْ يَصِحَّ أَنْ يُؤِمَّ فِيهِ فِيهَا. And the khutbas have to be done by someone who's allowed to pray, lead the salah. What does that mean? Who's not allowed to lead the salah? A woman, a young boy, right? And so if a woman came up did the khutbah, it would not count. Okay? If a young boy went up to the khutbah, it would not count. حتى لو كان فصيح, لو كان ما شاء الله عليه. Okay? So it has to be done, okay, by someone.
Yeah.
نعم.
Can the young boy, if I was singles,
We said that before, that the one who's not baligh cannot lead, unless he can only lead those like him. So he can only lead those who are not baligh like him, but he cannot lead people who are baligh. Okay. إلا في النوافل. في النوافل. إلا في النوافل. نعم. جزاك الله خير for that clarification. النوافل ما في مشكلة. لكن في الفرائض نو. في الفرائض. النوافل, it's always a bit more relaxed than the faraid. So, and then he has to have the intention of the khutbah. Okay. Yeah, and the khatib has the niyyah. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. They got it from that. Obviously, he has an intention for a khutbah. And then he said, and he has to advise them with taqwa Allah. Okay. The next one, And he to remind them of to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to give them nasiha. Right. To give them nasiha of taqwa Allah. And now he's not going to talk about, so the conditions again, it has to be in the time, he has to praise Allah, have the salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recite at least one verse, the required number of people, which is 40, we said, and then the imam's voice should be loud enough. He has to have the niyyah, and he has to give them advice. Taqwa, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't have to say, usikum, you know, bitaqwa Allah, or usikum wa nafsi. It doesn't have to be like that, but as long as he advises them to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one who is giving the khutbah must be among those who can lead the prayer, like we said, okay? وطبعاً, can someone else lead the prayer? Yeah, that's allowed. Okay, so if the imam does the khutbah and he's like, you know, my throat hurts or whatever, or somebody else has a nicer voice, ma fi mushkila, he can tell them, you go lead the salah. Wallahu a'lam. طيب. The sunnahs of the two khutbahs of Jum'ah. Tafaddal.
Is there a condition with the language? Because I see our brothers from Pakistan, they do like a das in English, and then they still do two.
Shuf, this is some of the ulama, they made the shart to be in Arabic. Okay? Others said no. They said, there's no clear proof for that. And then actually they say, we have a proof that the maslaha, because if you don't have a clear dalil, then they go to other means of proof. And here they go to the masalih, yani to the benefit of the people. And also they do have some proof from the Quran. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. Yani we only sent messengers to their people بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِ, with the language of their people. لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. وَلَوْ كَانْ بِغَيْرِ لِسَانِهِ مَا كَانْ يَسْتَطِيعَ أَنْ يُبَيِّنْ لَهُمْ. Right? The goal is to send a message, to communicate the tawheed and to learn about the deen. For how can you do it without the proper language? For it doesn't make sense, mantiqiyan, يعني, if the majority of your people speak English only and they don't speak Arabic, and to for you to come speak Arabic, it doesn't make sense. I saw this in Riyadh, مثلاً, in Riyadh, there's places where it's majority foreigners. فبطلع الخطيب and he's doing khutbah in Arabic. طبعاً, the khatibs there don't speak English. فهذه مصيبة. But alhamdulillah, there are some masajid there that I attended there, that they would ask some of the students of knowledge to do the khutbah, or at least they would do a translation after. This is another option. Lakin, yeah, I don't see it as being wajib. Allah alam. Yani I don't see it. But if there is a masjid that is majority, مثلاً, Arab or something like that, then there's no problem. And then you can translate some of it in English, because there's still going to be people. Allah alam. Yani. And here you have the choice of going different masajid. Yani, some people do that. طيب, what are the sunan? So he says, وَتُسَنُّ الْخُطْبَةَ عَلَىٰ مِنْبَرٍ أَوْ مَوْضِعٍ عَالٍ. It's recommended to be on a place that is high for the khutbah, okay? And then he says, وَسَلَامُ خَطِيبٍ إِذَا خَرَجَ وَإِذَا أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And for the khatib, when he comes to say salam, okay? And when he gets up on the minbar, assalamu alaykum. So you see the imam says, assalamu alaykum. Tamam. This is from the sunan, right? وَجُلُوسُهُ إِلَىٰ فَرَاغِ الْأَذَانِ وَبَيْنَهُمَا قَلِيلًا. So, and then he sits, until the adhan is finished, and then between the two khutbas, okay, for him to sit until the adhan is finished and to sit between the two khutbas. هذه الجلسة, this is from the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. والخطبة قائما معتمدا على سيف أو عصا. And so you see in some countries, they'll be holding a stick. In North Africa, a lot, you see it. In, I think, some places in Africa, he's holding a stick. This is because they see it from the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, because he used to do that, to lean on a sword or a stick, okay? قاصداً, and then they say قاصداً تلقاءه, and so they say it's actually recommended for the khatib not to like do eye contact with people, just to look forward, or not to just stay on one side. These are just things so people get to hear the imam and see him and see his face, and nobody is getting offended or anything like that. Just from the sunnah, وتقصيرهما, okay. And to make them short, okay? وَالثَّانِيَةُ أَكْثَرُ. And to make the khutbah not too long. In some countries, the khutbah is an hour. I don't know, if that's the orf of the people, no problem. But if you made it an hour here, I think it would be too long. But yeah, to make them short, the khutbah short, and the second one shorter. So the second one should always be shorter. With dua, and to make dua, okay? Are you allowed to do khutbah while sitting down? It's fine. You're allowed to do it while sitting down, but it's better to be standing up. And if the person has an excuse, he's allowed. Okay. Imam is looking straight ahead of him and avoiding eye contact. Keeping them short, we said that. Making dua for the Muslims, right, in general. Okay. And it is permissible to make specific dua for someone like a leader or something like that. Ma fi mushkila. Yes. Wahiya, and now he says, and the Jum'ah, okay. Jum'ah has two rak'as. Wahiya rak'atan. يقرأ في الأولى بعد الفاتحة الجمعة والثانية المنافقين. So he says it's from the Sunnah. The Jum'ah is two rak'as. It's the Sunnah to read Surah Al-Jum'ah in the first rak'ah and Surah Al-Munafiqin in the second one, or Surah Al-A'la and Al-Ghashiyah. As you see some of the khatibs do that. That's from the Sunnah. You don't have to do that. And now he's going to talk about what's haram. وحرم إقامتها وعيد في أكثر من موضع ببلد إلا لحاجة. So now he's saying it is prohibited to do multiple Jum'ahs, okay, when there's no need for that. Okay, and so مثلاً, you'll see in places where there's a lot of masajid, they will not allow Jum'ah in every masjid. So when I was in Riyadh, I think Riyadh is probably the most populated city in the world with masajid. Some of the masajids were not allowed to do Jum'ah. There's only designated masjids that have Jum'ah, okay, because this is going to divide people. Now, if there's a need for it, so he's talking about here multiple buildings of Jum'ah and multiple Jum'ahs as well. So if there's no need for multiple Jum'ahs, then you don't do it. But here we have a need for it, so we do it. Tamam? And that's why we also have there's a need. And he said, wa'id, and also Eid. Okay? And that's why sometimes the cities try to do one big Eid, because it's the Sunnah to do one big Eid. But if there's a need to do multiple Eids, then there is no problem. He says, illa lihaja, yani except for a need. So it is prohibited to have more than one Jum'ah in a city except due to a necessity. Also includes having more than one Jum'ah in the same mosque. Same applies to Eid as well. Okay. And we said that the exception is basically like there's too many people in the city and they can't all fit in, I think in some musallas we had as many as four Jum'ahs, right? I think in Epcor there used to be how many? Five? Four or five? Here in downtown, back in the day, they used to have five, صح? Yeah, they used to have five Jum'ahs. I don't know if you guys remember those days. But in Epcor, by the Olympic Park, Olympic Plaza, right? Yeah. They used to have about five Jum'ahs. I think now they expanded and I'm not sure how many they have. But yeah, if there's a need, yani. Wallahu a'lam. Then he says, he's talking about the Sunnah now. He says, وَسُنَّ رَاتِبًا وَأَقَلُّ السُنَّةِ بَعْدَهَا رَكْعَتَانِ. طبعًا here, he says, وَأَكْثَرُهَا سِتَّةِ. Why? They said there's a hadith that where they saw the Prophet ﷺ pray two after Jum'ah, and they have another hadith of Abu Hurairah where the Prophet ﷺ said you should pray four after. So some of them said, oh, it's 2 + 4, and some of them said you're mukhayyab between 2 and 4. Okay, the least you do after Jum'ah is 2, and the most you can do up to 6. There was a question. Now, tafadhal.
Just not so bad. You are since Jum'ah already. Is it right? Say we.
Yeah, بصلوا الجمعة والعيد. Yeah. Yeah. So there's two questions here. Do we do both of them as a community? Yes. Okay. Do you have to do both of them as a person? No. واضح? Okay.
But it's still like all of the can't just.
والله I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Is it another? You are tired. So it's my modesty to say it. But is there a bigger conference with other?
No, because they have to be connected to the Imam. Yeah.
In the southwest, in the south mosque, that they should keep it downstairs. You were seeing the Imam and here, always on the top floor.
Yeah, in that one, Lala, remember we talked about this in Salat al-Jama'ah. We said if they're in the same building, as long as they can hear him, good. If they're extending from outside the building, as long as they can see one of the prayer and they can see the movements and they can hear the movements, yeah, they can see the height, then it's counted as a jama'ah. That was the conditions.
So you can see.
He's saying like they're in another town. Type, how is he going to pray? My imam is a few kilometers away from you. But that wouldn't make sense. That wouldn't make sense. Wallahi. Yeah, pray outside. But everybody can hear the imam. Yeah, you have to pray, and they'll see the people keep going, and you can see the people doing sujood, ruku'. Yeah, type. So we said sunnah ratiba, the least type sunan of Jum'ah. So now for the people who are coming for Jum'ah, what are the sunan for Jum'ah? He says, وسنَّ قبلها أربع غير راتبة. So from the first sunnahs is to pray four rak'ahs, okay, before the imam gets up on the minbar. So if you come here, it's sunnah to pray. This is before. We said after two or six, two, four or six, before, okay, for غير الراتبة وقراءة الكهف في يومها, okay, وليلتها. So now he's saying that the second thing is to recite Surah Al-Kahf, okay, either in the night or the day. The day, there's no khilaf here. The night, some said the night يعني, of Friday, like after Maghrib Friday, or actually Thursday. And what makes more sense probably is from Thursday. Tamam? So you can read Surah Al-Kahf. This is from the Sunnah, يعني, to read Surah Al-Kahf from Maghrib Thursday to Maghrib Isha. Okay, this is from the Sunnah to pray Surah Al-Kahf. And then he says, وَكَثْرَةُ, try to finish this, وَكَثْرَةُ دُعَاء, and do a lot of dua, specifically on Fridays, and Salat on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? Especially on that day. And then we have number four, yeah, doing lots of dua. وَغُسُل, right? غُسُل, according to the Hanabila, is something that is highly recommended, taking a shower during the day of Friday, okay? بعد الفجر, and to clean yourself and to use perfume, okay, تنظف وتطيب, and ولبسوا بياض, and to wear white. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "إلبسوا من ثيابكم البياض." Okay, and so يعني it's recommended to wear white. If you can't wear white, no problem. Even they say the turban, يعني if a person wears a turban, it's recommended to wear white. This is from the Sunan. Number nine, he says, وتبكير إليها ماشيا, and to go there early walking. Okay, where did they get this from? There's a hadith that says من بكر وابتكر, okay, وغسل واغتسل ومشى ودنا إلى الإمام. I think the hadith, والله تعالى أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, it will be for, so whoever gets up early, does ghusl, okay, and then he goes early to the Jum'ah before the Imam is there, okay, they say, and he goes close to the Imam, okay, some people, and this is for those who go sit in the back for no reason, goes close to the Imam, then every step he takes, it will be like a year of Qiyam and Siyam. Yani, like, if you can do that once in your lifetime, you should do it. It's a great reward, yani. 10,000 steps, 10,000 years of Qiyam and Siyam. This is a reward, yeah, it's a great reward. But there's a great reward for that. How early do you go? There's narrations of Tabi'in and Sahaba where they would go with a lantern, yani. Yeah, it would still be kind of dark, tamam? Salat al-Jum'ah, and you see some people, and even in our country, Muslim countries, some people come like an hour and a half, 2 hours, they'll finish a good like four or five juz'ah, mashallah. Yani, I think it's good, yani, if you don't have work to do that, or do it once whenever you can, walk to the closest masjid and try to get that reward. Does it count for a car? I don't know. You can do qiyas if you want, but try it at least once doing it by foot. So, ودنوي من الإمام, yeah, and being close to the Imam, these are all from the Sunan of Jum'ah. And then he says, وكره لغيره, we're almost done. He says, وكره لغيره تخطي الرقاب إلا لفرجة لا يصل إليها إلا به. He's talking about now someone who comes late and walking over the necks of people. This is something that is disliked. We have hadith for that. Okay. Except, they say the exception is, there's only one spot. You can't tell people, you can't talk in Jum'ah. And there's only to get there is going through. Don't give dirty looks to people if nobody's moving for him. طبعاً here, I mean, alhamdulillah, it's not that bad. But if someone's entering from there and there's only one spot here, then he would have a reason to go there. Like, if there's a spot there and he wants to like skip over everybody, no, Habib. If you want to come in the front, then you need to come early. Okay, tamam? So again, if someone comes and there's a spot for him there, he's not allowed to come and try to get into a spot in the front, okay? Because you're hurting people. Now, if there's no spot there, okay, then he'll be allowed to go there and walk over people. He tries his best not to hurt anybody, tamam? So, yeah. Unless it's the imam. Like, the imam has to. Alhamdulillah, here the imam, please. But in some masajid, you have to go from the back, tamam? Like in the northeast location, you have to walk around people. So for him, it's okay. And then he says, وإشار بمكان أفضل لا لا قبول. And now here they say that it's disliked for you to give somebody else a good spot. Yeah, there's a good spot in the front, okay? And you're like, you know what? I'll just let someone else take it. This is disliked. Why? Because it shows that you don't really care about the reward, okay? But they say it's not makruh to accept it. So if someone says to lets you go, okay, you take it. Follows someone. There's khair there, you take it. But it's disliked for you to let go of a place that's better, because the first row is better than the second row. And we said from the sunnah is to come close to the imam, right? And the person who comes early and sits next to the imam and he does ghusl, then he gets reward of year of siyam and qiyam for every step.
Didn't it happen to Hassan Nasr?
It happened to Hassan.
This line, someone came and we called himself Hassan. We came 1 hour.
So we're going to talk about it. The So this, we're going to talk about this right now, and we're going to finish with this inshallah, and we'll pray Isha. Yani, just give me like 2-3 minutes. So al muharramat, the prohibited things in Jum'ah. So he says here, wa haruma an yuqima ghayra sabiyyin, like if you just waited 1 second, it was right there. وحرم أن يقيم غير صبي من مكانه فيجلس فيه. So they say here that it's haram to force someone to leave their place, because we have the hadith لا يقيمن الرجل الرجل من مجلسه ثم يجلس فيه. You're not allowed to tell someone get up from this chair, يعني unless it's their chair or something like that. But here they say إلا صبي. Okay, so they say unless it's someone who's not mature. يعني why? Why they say that? Why? Because it's not wajib on him. This is where they got it from. So if there's no spots and there's a bunch of kids here, okay, who are like 5, 6, 7 years old, okay, is it wajib for them to pray? No, it's not wajib for them to pray. I would say just use your adab, yani use your height. Yani you shouldn't move them. Maybe move them to the side, yani somewhere where they can squeeze into the corner, and that should be fine. So he says it's haram to force someone to leave. So you cannot tell someone to leave their spot in the time of Jum'ah. And then he says, والكلام حال الخطبة, and talking during the خطبة, and طبعا this is going to go into phones and other things, but he says here على غير خطيب. Obviously the خطيب is allowed to talk, and the خطيب is allowed to talk to you, يعني to tell you, oh Muhammad, put your phone down, Abdullah, stop talking, whoever you are, can you close the door. He's allowed to do that, and you're allowed to reply to him with what is needed, okay? And if you need to talk to the خطيب, you're allowed to talk to the خطيب if there's a need. We have the hadith of the man who came and said, oh Prophet Allah, ud'u lana for matar, for rain, right? And the Prophet ﷺ did that. من كلمه لحاجة ومن دخل والإمام يخطب صلى التحية فقط خفيفة. Whoever comes in and the Imam is doing the khutbah, he prays the 2 rak'ah tahiyya very fast, okay? So some of the things, so it's haram to speak during the khutbah, and we're finished with this. So the khatib is allowed to talk, and the one who the khatib is talking to is allowed to reply. Okay, طيب. What about other times you're allowed to talk? They say you're allowed to talk when the imam is sitting between the 2 khutbas. Talk يعني دعاء, كلام دعاء يعني, not كلام فارغ. This is what they're talking about. Like for you to say things, دعاء and other things, but you're not allowed to make دعاء while the imam is there. تمام? Where the imam is silent or pauses, when the imam is doing دعاء, whether during the khutbah or at the end, or the imam does anything that is not related to the khutbah. Okay? So مثلا, the khatib, someone tells him, yeah khatib, stop talking about this. Okay? And then they get into an argument. You can maybe help, try to stop him. That's fine. Tamam? So this is the exceptions where it's allowed for the person to talk. Wallahu ta'alam. Let's take one question and we'll do the salah, inshallah. Tudu.
You salim, some people get the kids 2, 3 years old and they're crying. You can't hear the khatib.
Can you tell them to be quiet? No. Because the Prophet says that's from lagh as well.
Take him upside, blah, blah, blah.
So that would be the job of the khatib. So the khatib, we'll see it and be like, whoever has a child, please walk him outside or something like that. But the person is not allowed, because the Prophet ﷺ said that hatta to say ansat, yani be quiet, is from laghu, right? And that's the difficult thing about Jum'ah, right? Unless it's an emergency, fi fire or something like that. Then last question.
My number one, in it's Jum'ah, a reminder with the hadith, woman Jum'ah, before. In prayer, so we reminded.
So you're saying we should do it here?
I like it.
Prayer.
Yeah, it's really especially for these fields of modern dealing, tracking the product, it's human model for self, whether it's an answer to one or not. But it's a good reminder.
That's a good reminder for the Imams. No, JazakAllah khair. We can do that, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.